Just when you thought there was a plan to stabilize Europe's economy, the Greek prime minister drops a little surprise.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At least a half dozen ruling party members in Greece today called on Prime Minister George Papandreou to resign. That's after the head of government there dropped a bombshell in Athens, asking his country to vote on an economic rescue package and all the cuts that go along with it. Konstantin Michalos is chairman of the Athens Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Greece. He's with us now from the capital city. Hi, Konstantin.
Good morning, Steve.
Were you shocked by Greek Prime Minister Papandreou's surprise announcement?
Well, absolutely. The Prime Minister caused a tectonic earthquake tremor during last night's parliamentary speech when he announced that he intends to hold a referendum on the latest European Union aid package intended to resolve the country's debt crisis.
How will the Greeks vote on this measure?
Well, this is the reason why I'm referring to political schizophrenia, because what's the point of a vote of confidence later on this week when he runs the risk of the people reversing the EU decision just a few weeks later? We've seen the polls, the recent polls, there's approximately 65% of the people that were being polled that are against decision.
These are people who are most affected by the austerity package, though, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, many people in Greece are Greek government workers.
Well, yes, but when you have a poll, you have a representative sample from all fractions of society, of course, including public servants. But I can assure you that with these austerity measures, without having any stimulus, any growth perspective in the Greek economy, then I'm afraid that there is an overall spectrum of Greek society that will vote against these measures.
What is at stake, Konstantin, to the global economy and even here in the U.S.?
To be quite honest, it is highly debatable whether it's constitutionally justified and permissible to call for a referendum under Article 44 of the Greek Constitution, which clearly forbids such dilemmas on issues of fiscal regulation. I think that this is, we have a government which is clinging on to its ministerial armchairs at all costs. And it is evident that they're operating in a highly sensitive danger zone, not just for the Greek economy, but for the European economy and the global economy at large.
Konstantin Michalos from the Athens Chamber of Commerce and Industry, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, Steve.
And this news, of course, comes just hours after the European Central Bank gets a new president. The Bank of Italy governor, Mario Draghi, takes over as president of the ECB. But what exactly can a central banker do when the economics and politics are so intertwined on the continent? Reporter Christopher Worth has more from London.
The job of the Eurozone central banker is usually pretty mundane. Mario Draghi will be responsible for moving interest rates up and down to keep inflation in check. Draghi's famous for his flawless charm and diplomacy, characteristics that are invaluable at a time of crisis. But he also has quite a resume. Draghi used to work for Goldman Sachs. Daniel Gross is the director of the Center for European Policy Studies. He says Draghi's stint in investment banking makes him well prepared for the possibility that a country may default.
I think this is due to his private sector experience, where he sees that from time to time, people go bust, and therefore for him this is nothing totally unheard of and something that cannot always be avoided.
The domino most likely to bring down the Eurozone is Italy, a country Draghi knows well. It's weighed down with debt, and right now it's Europe's biggest problem. Gross says Draghi's inside knowledge will be vital in making sure that domino doesn't fall. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, market's not doing so hot right now. The NASDAQ is off nearly 2%, same for the S&P 500. The Dow down 201 points, about 1 2/3% at 11,753. Forget about the profitable month of October. The Dow was up for the month by more than 1,000 points, so stocks today are tanking as November gets underway. European markets are down between 3 and 6% at the moment. Construction spending posted a modest gain for September, up 0.2%, which is the second straight monthly increase.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com.
Starting today, Coca-Cola will ship white cans to help raise money for the polar bear. The white bear makes a holiday appearance, as you know, every year for Coke. Marketplace's Adrian Hill wonders just how much the polar bear is worth to the soft drink giant.
Coke wants to help out the polar bear, and for good reason. Cuddly, sweet-natured animated versions of the bears have been a highlight of the soda maker's holiday ads since the early 90s. The icons have huge value for Coke.
Easily tens of millions of dollars.
Peter Madden is a branding expert with the agency Agile Cat. This holiday, Coca-Cola is still focusing on polar bears, but this time it's all about real-life bears and their changing Arctic habitat. Katie Bain is the president of sparkling beverages at Coke.
Kind of what we think big, iconic brands can and should do is point out things that matter.
It might seem a risky transition to associate soda with the plight of the polar bear, but Matt Schechner from Advertising Week says it's not the case at all. He thinks consumers will follow along and associate Coke with doing good for the environment.
I think what the polar bears offer Coke an opportunity to sort of connect three things.
The head, the heart, and ultimately, he says, the wallet. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, it's Battle of the Bonds, not the kind you buy and sell, but the kind you watch at the movies. Roger Moore, who played 007 James Bond on the big screen, gave a speech to students at the Cambridge Union in England. Moore gave kudos to his predecessor in the Bond role, Sean Connery, saying Connery's a good actor, but that his Scottish accent often gets in the way. It's a pity, Moore said. I can't understand what he's saying. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Trees come down, beer prices go up, even fires get a little hotter and a little faster in an election year.
From the point of view of a fireman, he's going to have a much more difficult year if it's an election year.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Elections and their strange side effects. It's what? Yes, Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.